Now, more on the so-called roadmap and the Powell mission to the Middle East from two veterans of U.S. peace efforts in the region. Robert Malley, now of the International Crisis Group, was President Clinton's special assistant for Arab-Israeli affairs. Dennis Ross was the special Middle East envoy throughout the 1990s. Mr. Malley is now with the International Crisis Group. Ambassador Ross is now with the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. Welcome to both of you.
Nice to be here.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask both of you, Ambassador Ross, first, apart from demonstrating U.S. intentions, what can Colin Powell actually do on this mission that might advance the prospects for Middle East peace?
I think it's very important that, in fact, he is seen as having accomplished something. To go out now when expectations are raised, when there's at the same time a kind of concern that maybe the administration is not truly serious about this, he has to show that he's going to stick with it. He has to show that he produces something. At a minimum, I would like to see him bring Abu Mazen and Prime Minister Sharon together in a three-way meeting to demonstrate, all right, look, there is a renewed dialogue between the two, something we haven't seen for a while, and the dialogue is going to be used to try to forge some understandings about diffusing the current situation and transforming it.
Robert Malley, what do you think Colin Powell might actually accomplish on this trip?
Well, I agree with the aspiration. I think the minimum will at best be the maximum. I don't think one should expect too much because of what's been happening, obviously, over the last 2 years. I think what matters is obviously to get this off to a good start and to see whether it's followed through. There have been many trips by Colin Powell or others to the region in the past, and they haven't been followed through. And so whatever happens from this one needs to be continued. And as Dennis says, there needs to be some perseverance and not just a one trip and then end it there.
Dennis Rush? You, Robert Malley, too, were involved in the last round of negotiations at Camp David, later at Taba. Is it your belief that if one could break this terribly violent clinch that the Israelis and Palestinians have been in for the past 2 years, that there actually is anything positive about how they might approach a real settlement over issues like borders, refugees, Jerusalem, the really tough stuff? Are they closer on those than they are in actually the getting rid of the violence right now?
No, they're not. Psychologically, they're not. The critical issue right now is that both sides have lost so much faith in the other in terms of being a genuine partner that until you can reestablish that, it's very difficult psychologically to go back to where we were. Ultimately, you're going to get back to that point. The real trick is how do you get from where we are to that point? The logic of the roadmap is to try to create such an approach. Mm-hmm. It has problems in the sense that it lacks all sorts of specificity on the one hand. And this is where Rob and I might disagree. The incrementalism that's built into it does contain within it certain opportunities for those who are opposed to it to frustrate it. On the other hand, you've got to find a way to reestablish faith, and this isn't a light switch. You're not able to flip the switch and suddenly everything is fine. So to get from where we are back to that point is really the challenge.
But Robert Malley, when you criticize and find fault with the gradualist approach of all this, are you saying that it might actually be more effective at some point to try turning on the light switch and saying, here's what a settlement really should look like?
The key is at some point. I mean, the two things I'd say is, number one, I believe it would be very useful today for the quartet, the United States, and its partners to be much more specific about what the end game is, not because we think we're going to get there tomorrow, but because I think it would empower the moderates on both sides to say, this is what we're fighting for, and this is something the other side in its vast majority, as the polls show, is prepared to accept, a two-state solution with fair resolution of all the issues spelled out in some detail and with the international community backing it. I think it's very important that peoples of both places be reminded of what this is about. It's not about a ceasefire, although that's very important. It's about reaching a comprehensive settlement not too far in the future. Now, you can't get there right away. I agree with Dennis, absolutely. You can't today tell Sharon and Arafat or Abu Mazen to sit down and negotiate these issues. But what you can do is work towards the day where once you get over this current phase, and without going through a three-year process that would drag into a nine-year or 10-year process, say once you get over this phase of intense violence, and once the leaderships on both sides are of the type that can deal with these issues, you should go to them right away rather than try to get through all the myriad and myriad of obligations that the roadmap currently spells out and that nobody I know believes will ever be implemented.
But isn't the problem with your approach illustrated by what Prime Minister Sharon did the other day when he raised the question of the Palestinians renouncing a right of return? It would seem to be implicit in most ideas of a peace settlement that millions of Palestinians wouldn't have a right to return. But to say at the outset, right now, the Palestinians have to give up that claim seems like a non-starter and a way of received in Palestinian quarters as an attempt to sabotage the process.
Well, I mean, I might surprise you. This is one of those rare cases where I actually agree with Prime Minister Sharon, at least with his logic. I think what he's saying is, why should we go down this road? Mm-hmm. This road that entails big compromises on the Israeli side in terms of settlements or of territorial withdrawals. If we don't know at the end of the day if the Palestinians are going to say, thank you very much, we want 4 million people to return to Israel. But that same logic should apply to the territorial issues, to Jerusalem. Why should the Palestinians go down this road if 3 years down the road they're going to be told, thank you, there's no Palestinian sovereignty on Jerusalem? So the point for me is, I think the quartet, not the parties, the quartet should say, this is our vision of what the end game will be. You don't have to accept it 100%, but it's going to give the two sides greater confidence to engage in the difficult steps they have to undertake immediately.
Well, last question before I let you both go. Do you assume that in a year or two we're actually still going to be using the phrase roadmap or quartet for that matter, or can we file this in the same drawer, say the Rogers Plan or other great diplomatic initiatives of years past?
I see the roadmap as being useful primarily as a backdrop to negotiations or as a justification for talks. I don't see it as truly being a guide to action. As such a backdrop, as a justification, it will be there largely as a footnote. I don't think it's going to be there as what turned the conflict around.
Rob Malley?
I don't disagree. I think if past is any guide, and it usually is, all of these plans that we've seen in the past have been put back in the drawers. I think the difference here has more to do with what's happening in Israel, among Palestinians, and in the U.S., and if it could serve as a springboard to accelerate those changes, it would have done more than most should anticipate it will do, and that would be good enough.
Robert Malley of the International Crisis Group and Dennis Ross of the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, thank you both very much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Pleasure.